This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Jefferson, Paris, Louisiana, New Orleans, perhaps, or anywhere in the great state of Louisiana, and Ida was bearing down on you. That's pretty much what lots of people heard. What a wild storm to slam into the United States. It exploded, and that is the best word to use, right before it hit landfall. What's really, really crazy is that crazy good, if we were looking at a silver lining, is that, of course, the levees held up. There were some seawalls where the surge was higher and went over. There was certainly lots of flooding, but at least the levees held up after what happened 16 years to the day when Hurricane Ida hit Louisiana. The disaster that Katrina was. Welcome to the show, everybody. Kate Delaney, if you're a first-timer, we've rolled out the red carpet for you. And, oh, what a wild, wild couple of days. We're going to talk about, obviously, here, what is huge when we talk about the end of our longest war. That's right. It used to infuriate me that people didn't realize we're at war. Right? We're at war with Afghanistan. We have soldiers that have been there for two decades, not anymore. The last C-17 left. But back in the United States, while that was happening, it was all about Ida. And the buzz in your backyard and mine is, thank goodness I don't live there, or wow, I know people who live there. What can we do to help? And this is what I do love when something catastrophic happens. People reach out, and a lot of people have reached out to the people in Louisiana and Mississippi and so many other places. You know, and you've got Tennessee that is bracing for the remnants of Ida. Could it get any worse for them when you think about what just has happened there? So the hurricane blamed for one death, a person found dead following a report of a fallen tree that slammed down onto a home in Prairieville, which is in that Ascension Parish area. Remember, in Louisiana, it's parishes, like when you think of suburbs. So that was the only one. It doesn't mean that there aren't others, because there's a lot of search and rescue that's going on. One of the big stories besides the flooding was the power outage in New Orleans. And the fact that that really made the city vulnerable even more, because you've got flooding and you've got thousands, hundreds of thousands of people without air conditioning, without refrigeration, in sweltering summer heat. Remember, we're talking about a swamp, New Orleans and Louisiana. That's what it is. I mean, you're in a bowl in New Orleans, and in so many of the other areas with the swampland, you have alligators all over the place, too, as well. Some of the worst video I think I saw was the ocean that did go over and swamp the barrier island of Grand Isle just as it came ashore at Port Fourchon. And the second landfall 2 hours later was near Galliano, and people there, some of them stayed, and people there were being rescued. I mean, it just churned and churned through the Louisiana wetlands. More than 2 million people living in and around Baton Rouge and New Orleans were under a threat. And constantly the governor was updating to say, it's going to be stronger than you think or you see, or we give you the numbers and be careful. We're watching as it gets closer. And that's exactly what happened, right? So you had 1 million people who were without power in Louisiana. 40,000 were in the dark in Mississippi. Easy to look all this stuff up. I didn't even have to make a few phone calls. I did, but you could go to poweroutage.us. It tracks all the outages nationwide. In New Orleans, the awnings of buildings were ripped off. Buildings swayed. You could see them. Water spilled out of Lake Pontchartrain. But again, the pretty much there was so much holdup, which was wonderful. That was, again, part of the good news. There were about a dozen reports of breakaway barges. There were a lot of other things that happened. Of course, trees were ripped out by their roots. There were cars that were toppled. Anything that you could possibly imagine from wind damage and from being thrashed around by water as well. When I think about the people that could be vulnerable, the people that hunkered down, and the mayor, LaToya Cantrell, pushing people that were in the city to not, okay, now you're here, you've decided to stay, you really do have to hunker down. That is, again, the best way to describe that, into trying to ride this thing out. So the intensity of it, I mean, scary and just dangerous, and a region that now has been used to being the open port, so to speak, for whatever Mother Nature, hurricane-wise, seems to throw at the U.S. And then the other part of this with the significant damage, etc., is you throw COVID into the mix, you throw patients in ICUs, all of that, and it becomes even more deadly. And in Mississippi, where Katrina demolished oceanfront homes, I can remember doing a show from Biloxi, and they took us all through the damage, and it was kind of shocking to me in a sense, because so much focus was on Louisiana, and rightfully so, with so many people who died. But Mississippi really, really bore the brunt of the winds. And these people remember Katrina well. Many never came back. Others did come back and rebuilt. So you had hurricane-force winds that stretched 50 miles from the storm's eye, so about half the size of Katrina. And the infrastructure, again, is much better. It's a very different place to go and see and live than it was 16 years ago. So that is the good news. There were oil refineries that were affected, chemical plants, etc. No petroleum spills that anybody's heard of at this point. I mean, Louisiana has 17 oil refineries. That's about one-fifth of the U.S. refining capacity. And two natural gas export terminals ship about 55%, did you know this? Now you do, of the nation's total exports. So you look at that and you look at how much of that could be affected. So that means when you pull up the pumps, the numbers that you'll pay, what you'll pay for a gallon of gas will be a little bit higher. The end of the war, what does it mean? What was it like? All of that in between. We're talking about it next.
In the last 12 months, the Federal Reserve has added over $4 trillion to their balance sheet. It's led to an explosion in financial assets. Stocks, bonds, commodities, cryptocurrencies, housing prices have all exploded higher. But the Federal Reserve can't keep this going forever. This is unsustainable. It's why you need Advantage Gold. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver the right way. Call 800-900-8000. We don't pay celebrities millions of dollars. We pass that value on to you. It's why we're number one. Call 800-900-8000 now. Speak with one of our experts and learn how. We'll send you a free gold kit and a copy of my national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call 800-900-8000 now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
He's standing there with a gun in his hand. Make your bets now, 'cause this could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, speaking of gun in their hands, $85 billion worth of weapons that was left behind when you have to leave the country that you've been in for 20 years and the Taliban is waiting for you to exit. So they do have weapons. Think about the tanks, Black Hawk helicopters, lots of money left behind arms-wise. Because of the U.S.-supplied Afghanistan military. So those weapons and equipment are turned over to the Taliban. They seize it. And now at this point, when we look at it, even though the word was from the Pentagon, well, some of them were never mission-capable to begin with, and they'll never be able to be flown again, but there's so much more weaponry on top of that. And one of the things that might be demilitarized would be, you know, the 27 Humvees, right? Maybe. And the aircraft that can't fly or can't be operated by anyone. But that doesn't account for serious weapons. Like I said, the others, the billions of worth of weapons that can be used again, like those helicopters and those tanks and the mine-resistant, ambush-protected vehicles of all kinds. So all of that is available to the Taliban. And, oh, yeah, there is this other part of the story. Of course, this is the end. This is the end of the war for the U.S. The U.S. has now evacuated. But what does that mean for prisoners, ISIS prisoners? Well, they've all been released. So about 2,000 have been released. So needless to say, Afghanistan is a terrorist hornet's nest. There's no denying that. So I look at the end of this and put it in perspective. You have to think of the blood, the sweat, the tears that all were spilled in the quicksand of the Middle East. 2,461 U.S. service members and civilians killed. More than 20,000. This is the other part of this. 20,000 injured. The last C-17 left, made it out. That was it, carrying the U.S. commander who oversaw the evacuation operation, Major General Christopher Donahue from the 82nd Airborne Division, the acting U.S. Ambassador Ross Wilson. They were the last two Americans to step off the tarmac in Kabul minutes before that 31st August deadline. So 20 years. It began just a few weeks after the September 11 attacks. There was no handing over of flags. There was no, this is your country. Of course not. None of that, right? The Taliban was just notified of the last flight. So it's a new, different chapter. There are more than 100 Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave but couldn't get on the last flights. But the State Department says, we're going to work, we pledge, we're going to work hard in trying to get you out. And the Taliban, they say they're going to hold the Taliban to their commitments to let people leave the country and hope, I think, that that's going to happen. The head of U.S. Central Command, General Kenneth McKenzie, announced the historic moment of the departure and said tonight's withdrawal signifies both the end of the military component of the evacuation, but also the end of the nearly 20-year mission that began in Afghanistan shortly after September 11, 2001. The cost was, what I said, too many service members and civilians killed and the 20,000 who were injured, but that's it. And, of course, the heaviest of heavy hearts, that total included 13 U.S. service members killed on Thursday, last Thursday, after an attack by the regional ISIS affiliate and ISIS-K. And that's it. I mean, the resolve of the troops should be absolutely applauded. Sadly, I think so many forget that this was war. This was our longest war. Nearly 50,000 Afghan civilians, 70,000 Afghan soldiers and police have died also in the violence since 2001. So now the Taliban asserting its control around the country. The U.S. vowing to continue airstrikes against them like ISIS-K. Does this mean the end of daily violence? When you think of the 2,000 I mentioned, hardcore ISIS fighters on the ground in Afghanistan, they've been let out of prison in the last couple of days. It's going to be challenging to watch what happens from afar to ultimately see what happens with this group and how they meld. On top of it, Special Forces brought 2,017 Afghans, 1,064 American citizens, and 127 nationals from third countries to the airport by road. So it was the biggest non-combatant evacuation in U.S. military history. And for that, it is a monumental achievement, even though we can look at the blunders of the strategy of how this all went down. But I think you have to give it to so many, again, of the soldiers who were there risking their lives trying to make this happen, moving this as fast as possible, landing those C-17s. Think of the three helicopter extractions of the 185 stranded Americans and the 21 Germans. Really just absolutely amazing when you think of it from that perspective. But I have a feeling we'll see some drone strikes. Already the U.S. retaliated back for what happened at the airfield and the loss of the 13 soldiers and so many Afghan nationals who were fleeing. Already there's been two strikes. And like I said, you can bet there will be more. I mean, there was even a rocket attack on Monday. No casualties. No reported casualties anyway. And at this point now it's about scrambling and optics and everything else. And the president set to speak on Tuesday, I can imagine, with this being the focal point. And the Taliban is saying, oh, it's a softer brand of rule compared to what we did the first time around. Why would you not think we were going to be kinder and gentler? We are the Taliban, but we're going to be very nice to the people we weren't so nice to the last time around. But there are people that are in a situation where they are stuck now. They are stuck unless they are somehow rescued. And what would that rescue, look like? What would that mission look like at this point? And you can bet that's not going to happen overnight. So think of the people that, the hundreds that are left behind. But the longest war has been declared over. It's over. No more deployments after deployments after deployments to Afghanistan. More money, more arguments about what has to happen. But sadly, all that training of the Afghanistan military, they could not hold up. They couldn't even hold up for a week. So it is so many of them that will be targets. I can't imagine the Taliban will just let that go and say, well, it's a softer side of us. It's okay that you wanted to form your own government away from us. You wanted to push us out. Oh, it's okay. Well, we're going to work with you. I don't think so. I think it'd be shocking if that happened. Shocking. All right, many of you had thoughts on the last day and some of what you saw and sacrifice of families, etc. Also, many on Ida and what happens next. Going to the mailroom.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
More than a million people in Louisiana are still without power, according to Governor John Bel Edwards. He said Monday evening that electricity is practically non-existent for most people in southeast Louisiana and that 25,000 linemen are in the state working to restore power. Regional supplier Entergy says that it could be up to 3 weeks before power could be restored to some of the hardest hit areas by the storm. The company estimates that 90% of its customers would see power restored sooner. The Louisiana Department of Health has also confirmed that a second person has died in the storm. The department said in a Monday evening tweet that a man drowned in his vehicle when he tried to drive through floodwaters near I-10 in New Orleans. And the European Union has proposed new travel restrictions that could severely restrict travel for unvaccinated Americans. The body passed a non-binding resolution Monday that would remove the U.S. from a list of countries whose citizens can visit member states without additional coronavirus restrictions. This is USA Radio News. The Federal Trade Commission has its eye on gas prices. Tim Berg explains.
The Federal Trade Commission is going to crack down on gasoline price manipulation and unlawful mergers among big oil companies. FTC Chair Lina Khan telling the White House they will investigate abuses in the franchise market for retail fuel stations. Going forward, the FTC will challenge mergers where dominant players in the industry are buying family-run businesses. Khan adding they will reimpose prior approval requirements and probe practices related to fuel stations that are franchised. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And the Department of Education announced Monday that it was investigating five states for their bans on mask requirements in schools. The department's Office for Civil Rights says that the policies could be discriminatory against students with disabilities or health conditions. The department will investigate mask bans in Iowa, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Utah. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on healthcare by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Dory, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsideben.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Ben team. Go to brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Stick in the mail bag.
Stick in the mail bag.
Yeah!
It always gets me. It does. So let's jump to it, shall we? Joe, listening in Louisiana, he says, my God, girl, Louisiana got slammed by Ida, but Louisiana fought back. Thank goodness for some of the changes that were made since Katrina. So what could have been even more disastrous wasn't. You notice there are not a lot of lives lost so far. Certainly nothing like the Katrina toll, not even close. A second death has been confirmed, but it could be a little bit higher, but it's certainly going to be nothing again like what happened 16 years ago. I have lived in Louisiana my whole life. And we know what to expect, and it's just always a question of should I stay or should I go. I sent the wife and the kiddos off, and I stayed, and we had a little bit of damage. The house had a few things ripped off of it. We live very close to New Orleans, but we feel pretty fortunate overall. I took a bunch of guff from so many of my neighbors who
decided they weren't going to ride it out, which I respect. Like I said, I sent my wife away, but then they wanted me to bird dog all their houses. And it's pretty dark, let's just put it that way. But seriously, everybody is doing a really great job in trying to help one another. But that's just how we roll down here, just so you get a good sense of what we're dealing with. Thanks, Kate. Thank you for giving us that view, Joe, on what personally happened with you. You know, there were people that sent their families away. There were men that sent their families away, and there were whole families that left. And I think there were a lot of people that evacuated. And again, those who chose to stay, and it just depended on, you know, what you felt was going to happen and trying to hunker down. I mean, you know, there were places like Lafitte that it wasn't good. The houses were overwhelmed. Lots of water. Streets were flooded. It looked like you could just take a canoe and paddle around it, which you could. So it was certainly hammered by water, and that's a town just south of New Orleans. And I think that's what the call was. Where, you know, where were you? How far away are you from whatever big area, whether it was Baton Rouge or it was New Orleans, or what parish you were in? I know Jefferson got hit pretty badly, and there was a lot of conversation about that. In fact, here's what Scott said. Kate, I used to have family that lived in Jefferson Parish, and apparently that was one of the worst places for Ida. They had rescue after rescue after rescue because they were flooded. You know, people had water up to their bellies or their necks, I guess, in some cases. But luckily, there were a lot of FEMA peeps that were deployed, and I think that helped in some of the home crew rescues, and some others helped all those local people there. So I understand it was a lot, but the good news is they were pulled to safety. So I think forecasters warning about the flooding from storm surges and all of that was vital to help some people, and others who were trapped, I mean, saw what was happening and knew to get out on the rooftops, and I think that saved a lot of lives. I agree. I was looking at a lot of different places, and Jefferson Parish, they say it was like 100 people were rescued on Monday. Could be even more than that. You had about 800 people that were rescued in St. John the Baptist Parish, and they had like 18,000 homes without power. So this is that eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing as to how bad was the water, you know. But I think heat-related problems are going to be on the rise, of course, because of the electricity problems, right? So at least Ida was downgraded to a tropical depression on Monday, but still there's warnings of heavy rainfall in a bunch of different states. And, you know, while the people in Louisiana are dealing with down power lines and flooding and collapsed buildings and people who may be missing, there are other areas like Tennessee, Ohio Valley, the Mid-Atlantic areas that are going to have to be concerned about flooding because they could get hit with this as it's petering out. It still looks like it's going to pack a punch as far as the water's concerned. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Jake, who says, "Hey, Kate, I haven't emailed you in a while because I've been busy juggling 16-hour days and a couple of other things. I feel fortunate that I have a lot of work coming my way. I know a lot of other people are still trying to kind of get all that right in the pandemonium of the pandemic and working, not working, whatever it might be. But it certainly has given me time in between to see what has happened in Afghanistan. You and I have gone back and forth on Afghanistan many, many times earlier on in your show. I would email you about it. And so often we were also on the same page when it came to how can we keep risking all these lives when we know that this military is going to fold up. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But I think anybody who served should feel proud of what they've done, and I think they don't, frankly, get enough recognition. I had two buddies who served, and I think seeing that C-17 military transport planes hit those tarmacs and get so many people out, so many Americans, and whoever they could, with no great shakes, just get them out. And then the horrible attack on Thursday, I think the people who have served deserve to have some serious recognition, even if they don't want it. To see that last soldier leave Afghanistan, the major who was the commander, it was very, very eerie. I saw a tweet of it, and eerie but good in other ways. There is just no doubt about service and not being able to stay, and then watching, of course, with the military and what happened, because now you got the Taliban all over that place, and you can bet they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do. You know what, Jake? I think the world is watching them, but I think you're right. I mean, this whole idea of this is a different world. We are women are going to have different rights. It's going to be a whole different kind of Afghanistan. I would love to think that. I'm optimistic. I'm always the glasses half full. But I have to say the glass is drained on this one, right? The last 24 hours of our presence in Afghanistan, yet about 1,000, I said this before, Afghans that were evacuated who had worked for or with the U.S., so you look at the total civilian evacuation, 123,000, 79,000 flown out by the U.S. military, 6,000 U.S. nationals. I mean, my goodness, I can't say those numbers enough. It is impressive what they did to scramble, and that's why it's just so gut-wrenching when you think of the 13 that were killed on the last moments, basically, of U.S. occupation being there and trying to train the Afghanistan military to no avail, sadly, in the end. You can just imagine what that was like to be that commander and to get on that last plane and shove off. I mean, it must have been such a wild, surreal, in a way, feeling. Must have been. All right, for something completely different, this one is from Eddie. Kate, I know you have a lot of people on from other parts of the world when you talk to authors, and I know you've had people on from New Zealand, and a lot of them talk about how New Zealand has been pretty good as far as lockdowns and opening right back up, and because they locked down, people were safer. Did you see that they had their first death linked to the Pfizer COVID-19 vax because a woman had one of those side effects of that inflammation in the heart muscle? I did see that. Obviously they're monitoring like everybody else, and the coroner said the cause of death is not determined, but they consider it probably to be that, and it probably due to the vaccination. So it's just a matter of, of crossing the I's and dotting the T's as far as a coroner's report's concerned. But the health ministry there said it's the first time that that's happened, anybody linked to the vaccine, that other deaths following vaccinations have been reported, but none were considered in their minds to be related to the vaccinations. And, of course, when that happens, and then that starts to be the talk, New Zealand has so far confirmed 3,500 COVID-19 cases and just 26 related deaths. So that becomes the shock and awe moment where now there is those that maybe aren't vaccinated that say, wow, do I really want to get vaccinated? Do I want to take that chance? Meet you on the flip side.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get for my radio show or books hit me at weird times and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's been really sobering, hasn't it? Been talking about the last flight out of Afghanistan, who's left behind, what happens now with the Taliban, and also looking at Ida and how wicked she is and what will happen as she moves further out toward Tennessee and some other states that will get pummeled by rain, which could mean more flooding. And think of the flooding on top of the flooding in Tennessee, because it's right in that direction. So you got 3,600 Federal Emergency Management Agency employees that were already deployed to Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Texas to help with any kind of cleanup efforts because of especially Louisiana and Mississippi, although I talked to people in Mississippi and they reported that they didn't get slammed like last time around, and you know, but there is still again the storm surges and then the water coming back. So you got to think parts of Louisiana and Mississippi hit by that, and like I said, the flooding in Ohio, Tennessee, the Mid-Atlantic area. That's the National Hurricane Center saying that look at the map, look at what's happening now. It's still extreme. And then to add insult to injury in New Orleans, 911 services
had technical difficulties, and that there were people that were instead being urged to seek help in person from first responders. But if you have your phone charged, you can't see, you're scrambling to a rooftop, you can just imagine what that would be like. So there are a lot of people left without water, too, in Louisiana. Of course, I mentioned St. James Parish is one of them. There's about 21,000 people there between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. Water's out. They have a boil water advisory for the entire parish, telling people to shut off their main water valves. Crews were trying to assess all the infrastructure damage, and this is what happens afterwards. St. Tammany Parish, that seems to always get hit hard. 260,000, a community of more than 260,000 across Lake Pontchartrain from New Orleans, they had the boil water thing too. The same thing. Non-critical water usage, dishwashing, laundry, all that kind of stuff to postpone it, to stop it. And then there were so many others as well that got the same thing. They're not going to have water pressure, right? And I mentioned that now there's definitely, it's confirmed that there was a second body in Jefferson Parish, a body in the southern part of the parish recovered from a home, where they were just crushed by Hurricane Ida's storm surge, you know. And so there's others, too, that are missing, and I think that number goes a little bit higher. But again, nothing like what happened, of course, after Katrina. Nothing at all like that. All right, there was nothing like the evacuation that happened so rapidly out of Kabul and to get out of that Hamid Karzai airport chaos scenario with so many people coming into that Abbey Gate, as they called it, and that sort of 50 feet between the Taliban. It was about 50 feet between the Taliban saying, okay, go through, and then going to the service people that were there, servicemen and women who were handling the evacuations and looking at documents and all that kind of stuff and helping kids and others who were struggling with just the clothes on their back or a little tiny bag that they had with them. Now that it's officially over, there still is questions that abound about what happens next. What about the Taliban? What about the Americans left? What about the Afghan people who helped American soldiers? And here's what John Kirby from the Pentagon had to say.
We didn't want to see happen what we believe to be a very real, a very specific, and a very imminent threat to the Hamid Karzai International Airport and to our troops operating at that airport, as well as civilians around it and in it.
All right, so that's the deal. It was get out of there, because there was a calls from lots of different people of all walks of life to say, well, for God's sake, get everybody out. I mean, can't you just stay? Can't you just push that 31st deadline? But especially after the two attacks, the suicide bombs and the loss of life, there was no way that was going to happen. I mean, you can call it messy. It was a messy retreat, absolutely not by the military, not by what they did, because they really made some incredible things happen. But the way that it was ordered, the way that all of that came down. And what is this now going to be like for the people left behind? There's reports of these kill lists, and there was even a story about an Afghan folk singer who was taken from his house and killed by the Taliban, too. He was in a mountain province. But I think the return of the harsh rule from 20 years ago is probably something that can be expected. When they controlled Afghanistan from 1996 to 2001, remember, the Taliban banned most forms of music as un-Islamic. So what the word is from what happened to this popular folk singer who was allowed to sing because the Taliban wasn't there, was, no, kill him. So shoot him in the head. Their intolerance for music without religious meaning has definitely made some artists pretty nervous that are still in Afghanistan, that are from there, etc. So I think we're going to see stories like this. I mean, we're going to see probably more stories, sadly, about that. Because I just think of the soldiers who talked about the faces of the people helping them rebuild roads or schools or do whatever they could do to make it better. And then just like that, in a week's time, just collapse. And then it's all about get out, get out, get out. It's over. It's done. We knew this date. This is it. You know, this is it. And we're gone. And what happens, you know, moving forward? The president is going to speak about Afghanistan on Tuesday. But the last U.S. military planes are gone. I mean, they are gone. And the second they left, the Taliban was right there in the hangar where the U.S. military helicopters were minutes after that C-17. You knew they were crawling all over that airport. And so there was no way to stay longer. And that's exactly what happened. Minutes later, they were there. They were there to grab up, snatch up, do whatever they could that could have been left behind on the tarmac, right? And then you think of the people who could not get out of there. And what does, I keep going back to that. What does that mean for them? What does that look like for them? What does that look like for them? Risky, 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 risky business. No question about it. Mm-mm. All right. And as we come to the end of this hour, and so draining for so many people, I will tell you one thing. As we watch what's going on with Ida, somebody texted me today and said, did you know a storm named after you is going to hit the U.S.? I'm like, oh, please no. It's a tropical depression. And it's strengthened a little bit. And so it's Tropical Storm Kate, according to the National Hurricane Center. But it's in the central Atlantic Ocean. And it's supposed to move north without threatening any land areas. So the maximum winds are estimated to be about 45 miles an hour. So while that's happening, you have Hurricane Ida that has at least weakened to a tropical storm, even though the disaster is really about the flooding now at this point, and not just in the south, but over those areas I mentioned before, all the way up to Pennsylvania and Delaware, by the way. All right, batten the hatches, everybody. Hang in, and help the people who need the help, for goodness sake. Make it count.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.